Hello, this is Joshua Mack and A Few Minutes with a Puritan. Hope you're doing well. I thought before we got started, I could ask a couple favors. One, if you are enjoying this podcast or find it helpful, it might be nice if you could review it, hit 5 stars or whatever. They say that helps other people find out about it. And I don't mind asking you to do that because this is definitely not self-promotion since I am just reading the Puritans. If anything, it is promoting Jeremiah Burroughs and other men like him, and they won't struggle with pride since they're in heaven enjoying Jesus. But I think what they have to say is very helpful and important, and I know I've heard from some of you. If you're being helped, it might be nice if you could let me know if you're being encouraged. I certainly am being encouraged, so I'm going to keep on doing this either way. I heard from a 20-year-old young person the other day that they were listening to the podcast, and they said, "It's so short, it's so short. I listened to it 3 times. And I thought that was great. Somebody else has been talking to me a little about how he's really working at being spiritually minded and identifying earthly mindedness in himself as a result of listening. And so that was super encouraging. And I'm thankful for that because I really think earthly mindedness, this subject that Jeremiah Burroughs is looking at in this book, is one of those root problems. You know how you have a lot of symptoms in your life sometimes, and you're trying to find out what's the root of this. So if you deal with the root, you're going to deal with a lot of the symptoms. I have a daughter who has been pretty sick and this summer, and we've been trying to figure out what it is, and we still don't fully know, but this summer she changed her diet significantly, getting rid of sugars and processed foods and things like that, and she had so many different symptoms that were alleviated simply by a change of diet, and that's kind of why I get excited about dealing with earthly mindedness actually in my own life and hoping to be helpful to you as you seek to deal with it, because this is one of those issues. If you can address this, you're going to address a lot of other problems as well. And to help us, Jeremiah Burroughs is giving us some proofs of earthly mindedness, what it looks like to be earthly minded, how you can know you're earthly minded. And these proofs are helpful, one, because they diagnose, they show our hearts, they reveal. But also, if we flip the proofs, we can see some characteristics of spiritual mindedness. So if we're not this, we put off this, we put on the opposite. That's what it looks like to pursue spiritual mindedness. And so it's helpful both ways. But we've looked at 5 different proofs of earthly mindedness, and he's going to give 9. We're on the 6th now. And he says, "You may know earthly mindedness by the words of men." What, in other words, what do you talk about? Listen to yourself, and you'll get an idea of what is important to you. 1 John 4:5 says, "They're of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Their breath is earthly. Oh, it's an ill sign when you come to a friend's bedside and fear that they'll die because their breath smells so earthy." You know, we don't probably know much about that, most of us, but in those days they were around people who died much more often than we are. And so apparently one of the characteristics that they noticed was that sometimes their breath smells earthly. It's a symptom, he says, of the death of their bodies. So your hearts smell earthy, and it would be somewhat tolerable if it were only on the days when your calling requires you to talk about business. But even during that time that God set apart for himself, you're often discoursing in your own thoughts about the business of the world. You do it when you're praying, you do it when you're hearing the word. The communications and discourses of men should relish what they've heard out of the word, not go and talk about some earthly occurrences. Oh, it's this that has lost many precious truths. It may have been when you've been hearing the word of God. God has shown some light into your soul, and yet you've lost that light before you got home and have come to lose the impression of the truth you've heard. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is that those who come to hear the word depart by talking about what they've heard and thinking more about it. But how sad it is when those who come to hear the word leave from that time of hearing the word not talking about what they've learned and not thinking about it. Oh, how often you're with other people and you never leave anything to refresh one another's spirits or to further one another in the way to eternal life. Though God gives you allowance to speak about your business, yet still, if you're spiritual and heavenly, he would have you to talk something about him and eternal life before you leave your friends. That's a great thing to ask yourself. What do I talk about? He's like, okay, I understand during the week you're really busy. You are at work. You have to talk about things of work. But what about when you're not at work? And then what about when you come to church? Do you think and talk about the things of the Word? When you come to church, it's good to really remember what's happening. You want to come to hear what God has to say. Your soul, you know, is more valuable than the entire world. And so when you're sitting there listening to the preacher, you're not sitting there listening, hopefully, to evaluate or critique. You're sitting there listening because you want to hear from God. And so you know when the Word of God comes and you see something beautiful about Jesus, you hear something challenging, you know how that's like a gift from God to you. That's like a precious gift. You know, if your hearts can be so cold, it's so hard to see sin. When God breaks through, in a sense, in your heart and you see something beautiful, you're encouraged. That's like a gift. You don't want to lose that gift. You've got to protect it. You know that when you go home, it's going to be very easy for the things of this world to steal that gift from you. So what do? You try to protect it. And one way you protect it is by talking about it. It should be normal to talk with other people about what the Lord's teaching you. And this might not have been normal for you growing up, but you might not have been around people that talk about spiritual things, and it might feel awkward at first. But if this is what your mind's filled with, you're going to find a way to talk about it. And I would encourage you, just go for it. Go for it. Share what you're learning from God's Word. Especially even when you come to church, share with somebody else how the Word of God challenged you, even before you leave on Sunday. And then throughout the week, maybe Monday you wake up, try to think back to what was preached on Sunday and ask yourself, how does this apply to my life? Can I remember the main points? Can I remember what the text was? Can I remember the way the Lord challenged me? And talk about that with someone else. Earthly-minded people, of course, they don't do that very much. They primarily talk about earthly things because that's what their heart is. A further proof is this: when spiritual things must give way to earthliness upon every little business, prayer must pay for it. If I have any business to do, I'll take it out of prayer time or study the Word less or hear the Word less. When earthly things are as high as spiritual things, heaven must stand by until earth is served. This is an evil sign of an earthly spirit. What a cool illustration. Heaven and earth come. They both need to be waited on. Which do you choose, earth or heaven? The earthly-minded person says, heaven, you can wait. I'm going to take care of earthly things. Whereas were the spirit heavenly, the very first thing that you would do when you awake in the morning would be to season your heart with something that's spiritual. In Psalm 139, 17, and 18, we read, how precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. That's an argument of a spiritual mind, to be with God upon awaking. When I awake, I'm still with you. But now I appeal to you. Who are you with when you awake? Can you say, Lord, when I awake, I'm still with you. I find an inclination in my spirit to be upon the matters of heaven. And when I'm up, I would rather my worldly business give way than my spiritual duties. I remember reading a book a number of years ago about a man who had been a missionary. Then he became a lawyer. And a few years after being a lawyer, he was really burnt out. And he was looking at himself and just wondering, how can I be this depressed or burnt out or whatever when I believe what I believe? And in his life, actually, as he began to look more carefully at the way he was living his life, he realized, you know what? I say I believe these things on Sunday, but when I look at the way I actually organize my life, I'm organizing my life according to things that I don't believe. I'm organizing my life the way the world organizes its life, the way an earthly-minded person might organize his life. And so it's no surprise I get the same results that the world gets, which is burnout, depression, all of that. And one of the things that he pointed out specifically was that he worked as a lawyer, and a lot of his clients, apparently, he was on the East Coast, a lot of his clients were in England or something like that. I'm not sure how all that goes, but you'll get the idea. Or maybe they had a branch in England. But when he would wake up, he would have all these emails. He would have all these tasks because the people in England had already been about their day. And he would just usually roll out of bed, begin answering emails. And he thought, you know what? I would say my relationship with God is more valuable than anything else. And that's got to be right for anything else to be right. And yet you look at the way I'm living my life and I'm acting like work is first priority just because of what I do when I wake up. So what he decided to do when he woke up was, I'm not gonna look at my email, I'm not gonna look at my phone, I'm not gonna do anything work related until I've spent time with God, because that's really my first priority. And that's kind of what Burroughs is saying here. Earthly minded person doesn't make God a priority. He makes the world a priority, and his relationship, he's always too busy for his relationship with God. Whereas, really, if you're going to be spiritually minded, if we're going to be spiritually minded, it needs to be the opposite. We need to make God such a priority that when we wake up running towards God. It's really a fun thing. This might be a goal for you, is to, I don't know if you wake up in the middle of the night, but seek to fill your mind with so many spiritual thoughts that when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're still thinking about them. Like you wake up and a verse comes to mind, or you wake up and you think about some attribute of God. That's definitely possible, but it's only possible if our minds are filled with truth. Eighth, we'll get through these here. Eighth, when a man or woman cares not how it is with the church, with the kingdom of Jesus Christ, as long as it's well with them in matters of the world, this is proof of an earthly mind. When things are stirring abroad in the world, he does not ask how things are in respect to the privileges of the saints, the ark of the church, as long as his home is safe. Truly, there's nothing needed but the examining of your own hearts, how they've been these last years of Jacob's trouble. I guess apparently in England it was a difficult time when he's writing this. He's saying, what have you been concerned about? In the time of war, Eli sat trembling because of the ark of God. He did not sit trembling because the Philistines might prevail and take his home. No, it was because of the ark of God. That was proof of the spirituality of Eli's mind. So how much do you think about the state of the church? How pressing is that to you in comparison to the state of your bank account? Likewise, it may be an argument of great comfort to you in these dangerous times if your consciences tell you this, that God, who knows all things, knows that the great thing your heart was concerned about in these evil days was, what shall become of your great name? Lord, what shall become of religion? What shall become of the gospel? Lord, these were the things that took up my heart, not so much what should become of my estate and outward accommodations and relations in this world. Oh, examine your hearts in this, whether the care of your spirits is more for the furtherance of the kingdom of Jesus Christ or for the furtherance of your estates. But for that man or woman who's most concerned about the business of his or her finances and does not much care how religion goes or how the way of the kingdom of Christ is maintained, God at this time speaks to that soul. You are an earthly-minded man or woman, and therefore take heed lest what's been spoken concerning the great evil there is in earthly mindedness befalls you, and especially these words, whose end is destruction, who are drowned in perdition. Lest hereafter this be the thing that you shall lie crying out and cursing yourself for. Oh, I had an earthly heart and sought the things of earth. I made my portion there, and in the meantime, the blessed God has been forsaken. I've lost my portion in the Holy Land, for I had my portion in Egypt among the Egyptians, according as I chose for myself. God's rescuing a people right now from Egypt, from the world. You want to be with those people. You don't want to be staying in Egypt. Ninth, finally, the more spiritual any truth is that is revealed, the less it takes with the earthly-minded man's heart. So this is challenging. But you'll find sometimes people will come and listen to preaching and they'll like it. But what do they like about it? Often what an earthly-minded man likes about preaching is the wit of the preacher, the eloquence, maybe just the learning that he's hearing. It might be the preacher telling him some wisdom about how to live his life. Maybe there's a illustration or a story that he likes. And all of that stuff is more pleasing to him than the truth that's revealed in the Word. And all of that is more pleasing and important to him than communion with God. Knowing Jesus Christ better. The earthly-minded man, if you listen to what he likes about preaching, it's not preaching that exalts Christ or that makes him think about spiritual truths. It's usually easy stuff, superficial stuff that is entertaining or that can help him live a better life now. You tell him the privileges of the saints, the mysteries of the gospel, anything that is spiritual seems theoretical to him, seems irrelevant to him. It's like men when they're on the earth and they look up to heaven and they see the stars only slightly. Why is it that the stars seem so small to us here? It's because we're here on the earth. The earth seems big to us, but the stars seem little to us, even though they're far bigger than the earth. Were we in heaven, the heavenly stars would seem vast to us, and the earthly bodies would scarcely be discerned by us. Were men's hearts heavenly, all the things of the earth would seem little to them. But because they are earthly, the things of heaven and spiritual mysteries are very small in their eyes. How about you? How about you? As you look at your life, have you been convicted by any of this? Do you see any earthly-mindedness in you? How do you talk? What do you talk about? How seriously do you take the Word of God? Do you protect the truth that you're hearing and meditate on it throughout the week? What do you make sacrifices for? Do you sacrifice prayer, reading of the Word, for business? I remember talking to a guy named Lucky in a farmer's market in South Africa, and Lucky, we were talking about church, and Lucky's like, "Oh, I'm too busy to go to church." And I said to him, "Lucky, you're too busy to eat?" And he was like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "You're so busy that you're not able to eat?" And he's like, "No, of course I'm able to eat. I have breakfast or I have dinner or something like that. I'm saying I'm too busy to go to church." And I'm saying to Lucky, I said to Lucky, "Look, man, you would never sacrifice eating. I mean, that would make no sense to you. If somebody said, I'm so busy that for weeks and weeks I can't eat. Why? Because you know without eating you can't survive. And so you never get too busy to do that." And the same should be our relationship with God. It should be even more so because our soul is even more valuable than our physical body. There are some things you just don't sacrifice. You don't compromise on. You can't compromise on your relationship with God, but an earthly-minded person does. And then how about what you're mostly concerned about? Are you thinking about the church, the cause of Christ around the world? Is it right now? It's political season. It's pretty troublesome. There seems to be a lot of chaos. What are you most concerned about in this next election? The cause of Christ, or what it's going to do to our economy? And then how about what is it about the Bible or preaching or spiritual conversations that you enjoy the most? Is it kind of earthly things, or is it actually the meat of the matter? May God help us, right? we're believers, those of us who are believers, we have the Spirit of God, and yet we can slowly but surely think and live in an earthly-minded way. And if we have the Spirit, good news, we're going to be convicted by a book like this when it points out our earthly-mindedness. And good news, we can change. But first, we have to repent. Second, we have to ask God for help. And third, we need to be willing to actually make some changes. What changes do you need to make this week that you might be who you are? Your life is Christ. Your life is in heaven. How are you going to live now, this week, like that's true?